Yes, I didn't forget. Thank you, baby. All right, let's go over to Daniel 3 real fast, please. We're going to talk about, I don't know if any of y'all have ever noticed this, but whenever we take up tithe, Jim always sings or hums to himself every time. No, nobody else ever noticed that? He raises, I always hear you humming. I like it. It's not bad, Jim. It's good. Not bad. He's a cheerful giver. That's right. He's happy. He's excited about it. Amen. Yes, he does. We're going to talk about, what are we talking about? Don't let Satan move you from faith to fear.
Amen.
Don't let Satan move you from faith to fear. Amen. Let's stand up together real fast, please, and we'll pray. Be in agreement. Father God, we do come to your throne room right now in the name of Jesus, and we rely on you, sir. We ask you, Holy Ghost, to unveil and reveal to us truths from your word this evening like we've never seen before. And Father God, I just ask you right now to make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truth from your word like I haven't seen it and also like they haven't seen it. Things that will help us, Father God, each and every one of us. I thank you that I will say things that I don't even know about. Amen. And I thank you, Father God, that I receive this right now in the name of Jesus by faith. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
I'm going to take this off. You may be seated. It's hot already.
Yes, it is.
All y'all hot? Thank God. Please turn on the fans. Whew. Yes. The one time. The one time y'all were hot with me. We're doing it tonight. We're all on the same page.
Amen.
Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Everybody knows why that they were being brought before the king. Y'all remember, right?
Yes,
he said, "Y'all, yes, you're going to have to bow down to the image every time I play that song plays." And they're like, "We're not going to do it. We serve God." And then he got mad, right?
Yes.
All right, amen. We're all on. 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and whatever that one is, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of where? Where at? Amen. Where are they getting cast into? The fiery furnace, yes. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? It's always funny whenever the world thinks that they can just do what they want to the people of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Look, we just gonna tell you how it is."
Amen.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just about to let you know since you want to talk. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not," and this is not, they were in doubt, they're just saying, "and even if he didn't, we still wouldn't worship your golden image." That's what they're saying here. They're not saying, "but if not," like we don't know if God will or if he won't. No, they know he will, but they're just saying, "but even if he didn't, we still wouldn't worship your golden image because God is our God," right? And then 19, he said, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was. Yes, son, I don't know why that word is messing me up. Then it was wont to be heated. Whew, thank God for the King James. Mess you up sometimes, won't it? So he's telling them, look, y'all need to bow down or we're going to light this furnace up and we're going to heat it seven times hotter than what it has to be to kill you, right? How hot does fire have to be to burn you? It just has to be fire. But yet he wants to heat it up seven times hotter. What's he trying to do? See, he's trying to intimidate them. He's trying to intimidate them. Because see, God or Satan heard them. Look, we ain't going to worship you. Even if our God didn't get us out, we still wouldn't worship you. Satan's trying to get them from faith into fear. Because see, if they'd have said that to some people, they'd have been like, man, why's he got to do it seven times harder? Huh? You know, we might need to worship. We ain't got to say that we're with them. Let's just fall down when the music plays. That's all. Let's just fall down. We ain't got to, I know we don't worship as God, but let's just fall down, you know, and get back up. That way we don't get burned. He's trying to intimidate them. He's trying to intimidate them. He's trying to get them from faith to fear. Because see, we can be running in faith, wide open. And then a situation like that come up, what's our reaction? See, are we moving from faith to fear? Man, I know God supplies all my needs, but man, I don't know if we can pay this one, babe. Now you just put all the focus from God to what you and your wife can do. I don't know if we can pay this, babe. I'm not real sure what we can do now because, did you hear, you know, that one of the kids is in jail. You know, I thought God said he'd help me and my family and my seed and everything, but kids are going crazy. Amen. I thought y'all would be more excited about this tonight. No. Amen. Seven times more than it was want to be heated. Then they wanted it heated. Then it should be heated. All right? And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Amen. They fell down in this. Yes. The other men died, and they fell down in it. Yeah. So that let you know, you can continue reading, but they never shut the door. It's too hot. Yeah. It already killed these other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Nobody else is going to walk up there to shut it.
Amen.
Look, King, they all just died. I ain't shutting the door. You cool? We ain't that cool, right? But they fell down in this. They fell down in this and then got themselves up. Because the fire was so hot, it burnt the ropes off of them. So they tried to bind them. See, that's another trick. They was trying to intimidate them. Look, not only am I going to make this fire hot seven times harder, I'm going to bind you. That way you can't walk around. Look, King, do what you think you need to do. But the God that I serve, amen. He was trying to get them from faith to fear. because once we fear, we open the door to the attack of Satan that he could never get before when we was in faith.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Right.
Because see, if they'd have went over into fear a little bit, even said one word, they'd have been defeated and they'd have died with the other people. They'd have died. As soon as the guards were died, they'd have died. If they'd have spoke anything about fear. But what did they say? They said, King, look, the God I serve, he's going to deliver us out of this furnace. Well, fire it up 7 times hotter. Do what you think you got to do. I could care less. Bomb me. Here, I'll help you tie it. But the God I serve will get me out of this situation. See, it's just like a fear tactic. That's all it is. Because if Satan can keep you bound in fear, you will never move. He's got people so bound up in fear that they won't leave their houses. They won't fly in planes. They won't swim. They won't get in boats. They won't enjoy life. Because of fear. Well, this plane might go down. Well, this boat might sink. Well, somebody, other crazy person on the river might run into me. Well, I thought God protected us. What does Psalm 91 say? First off, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, He's going to let you know something before something happens. So that way we can go out and enjoy life. Because if He created this whole place for me to enjoy, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not just going to sit back and watch everybody else have fun. I'm going to have fun. And the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of me is going to tell me, don't do that. No, don't go there today. Stay away from the lake today. Don't get in your boat today. And I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to pay attention to it. That away, because He's protecting me from something. That's exactly what He's doing. Amen. And if He tells you don't get on a plane, don't get on a plane. If not, go.
Amen.
That Dr. Jesse Duplantis, God told him not to get on a plane. And it's funny, sometimes it always seems like whenever you're in a rush or you need to get somewhere or you've been doing something,
right,
is when you're like, man, is that God or is that just me? You know, God, I've been working all day. I'm just trying to get home. I've been away from home for a month. You know, and so God told him, don't get on this plane. And he's like, God, I ain't been home in a little while. You know, I'm just ready to get home and relax. He said, don't get on the plane. He said, all right. So he didn't get on the plane. And there were some other people kind of like, well, you know, I ain't scared. I ain't superstitious, whatever. I'll get on the plane. They all got on the plane. And so he just sat back. And the whole time, the devil's going, boy, you look ignorant, don't you? The plane's pulling out on the runway. They're getting going. And then all of a sudden they got up in the air and then a malfunction. They had to turn back around, get back down, and then everybody had to come back in. He's still sitting at the terminal with a smile on his face. Because see, he didn't have to go through all that stuff, all that stress and all that other stuff that they went through. Now we got to wait to get back off the plane, now all this stuff. He just sat there. And then after he did it, another plane showed up, came in, and they was like, all right, we can get on this plane. And one of the guys that mouthed before said, hey, preacher, is it good to get on now? Amen. It's fun and games until they want to pay attention. But God truly made this earth for us to enjoy, so we might as well do it. Amen. Y'all remember Pastor Barb, my mother-in-law was at the red light down here, that bad fog, and she pulled up to a red light and the Holy Ghost told her, get over in the other lane. She could have questioned that all day. Well, there's nobody else out here. It's a red light. Why do I need to get in this lane? I'm the only car here right now. Right?
Yeah.
She got in the other lane. What happened? Semi went blowing right past her because it was foggy and he didn't know it. He didn't see the red light till it was too late. And semi, you can't just stop like a car. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It pays to pay attention. It pays to pay attention. Amen. Let's go over to Let's see real fast. Where do we want to go? Let's go over to 1 Samuel 17. We'll do that one. 1 Samuel 17, please. We all know this story very well. Amen. We'll start over here. Now the Philistines, first one, gathered their tents together, armies gathered together at that place and belonged to Judah and pitched between Shaw, that place. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mount on the one side, and Israel stood on a mount on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass, and then down a staff. In verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out and set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were what? And what? And what happened? They hid in their tents. And they stayed there for a while. Not one person could get out of their tent because fear gripped them so hard that it was able to control what they did every single day. Fear was able to tell them what they could do every single day. Amen. Any of y'all ever seen that movie, What About Bob? That movie's hilarious, but how much he was just afraid of everything. Yes. Everything. And he couldn't even enjoy life because of the fear that gripped him so hard. Yeah. You know, they got all these names for all the fears, like fear of like going outside. What are all the names? Do you know any names? I don't know none of the names. Phobias, yeah. I know absolutely no names. I just know they're fear-based. They're fear-based. That's all it is. And so Satan's able to dictate to them what they can do, what they can, where they can go, how much they can do. It's amazing. Whenever you start thinking about it like that, it's like, wow. That is from the pit of hell. Because God made this earth for me to enjoy. But if I'm so bound up in fear that I can't enjoy nothing, then Satan's got me defeated.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Moving along. All right. And then y'all know David came out. He used to play out in the woods by himself with the harp, just sing praise to Jesus, right?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. And then verse 38 right here. Well, verse 37. And 36. We'll go to 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart, what?
Fail.
Let no man's heart what?
Fail.
Let no man's heart what?
Fail.
That's why it's good to have somebody to run with. In the military, you always have a battle buddy. Always. And whenever I went to basic, you had a battle buddy. If you was ever caught out by yourself, you were getting smoked.
Yes.
You'd get in trouble. Because you need a battle buddy. You need somebody to help you. Because if you get in trouble and there's a situation you can't get out of by yourself, you got your battle buddy. If something goes wiry or crazy and it's something you can't do, you got your battle buddy. We need to bring that over into the Christian world. Need to run with your battle buddy. Amen. You need somebody that'll speak just like David to you. Look, don't let this bill fear get you afraid. Come on, we know who God is. Come on. And don't talk down to them, but talk to them. Lift them up. Get them excited about the word. Inspire their faith again, right? Amen. Don't let your heart fail. We're in this together. I believe we. Come on. We got Matthew 18:19. If two of us agree on earth as touching something, grab a hold of this. Let's go.
Amen.
Right? Amen. He said, don't let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able. Okay. Yeah, I'll read it. Amen. I just saw what time it was, and we got a lot to go. Buckle up. Fail him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. First off, time out. Let's back up a minute. Everybody, where's everybody else at?
In their tent.
What are they doing? Can somebody please go fight this guy for me? That's what they're doing, right? So then, all of a sudden, now that they got their answer, right? They got their answer. Hey, Saul, don't let these man's hearts fail because of this dude up here on the hill. I got him. And then what does Saul do? Look. You're just excited. He's going to kill you. It's funny. It's funny they got their answer and then he almost talked himself out of his answer. See, fear grabbed him so bad that when his answer showed up, he didn't even know it was his answer. That is good. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I like that. Fear grabbed him, whatever you want to say, so hard that when his answer showed up, he didn't even know he had his answer.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And, okay, amen. Let no man's heart. And then 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant keeps his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he didn't call him Goliath, he called him a person without a covenant with God, shall be as one of these, seeing that he defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, but that's not the end of it, Saul. Listen, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. See, you need to make sure you're rehearsing things that you got victories over in your life. Look, babe, look, I know that we got this bill unexpected, but you remember a couple months ago whenever that other bill popped up? You remember what we did? We spoke to it, and at the end of the week, we had the money to pay it. You remember whenever all of a sudden the car started acting up and we spoke over it, and it straightened right back up? You remember whenever I had that bad cold and you prayed over me and my fever just left me instantly? See, you need to be rehearsing these things. Need to be rehearsing these things over and over. Thank you, God. Remember the time I almost died, but you saved me. Thank you, God, the time that I couldn't pay my bill, somebody just showed up with money and said, God told me to come give this to you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Good luck. I hope you make it. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass on his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he, what is that word? Yeah, that one. To go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't go out with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Yep. Amen. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Amen. First off, he was able to control, Goliath was able to control them by influencing them with fear. Goliath was able to control them by influencing them with fear.
Yes.
Amen. Not gonna lie. I just read that and news popped right up in my head.
Amen.
And they was able to control them by influencing them with fear.
Yeah.
Well, you better wear your mask or you'll get COVID. The God that I serve. The God that I serve. Delivered me from all those sicknesses a long time ago. Not only that, everything that ever would be on this earth, he took care of over 2,000 years ago, so it has no right in my body. It's got no right around me, and it's got no right in my household. I believe it is John G. Lake, whenever he's overseas and the bubonic plague or whatever was going on, they told him, you can't go over there, you'll die. He said, yeah, I can. It won't bother me, it won't faze me. They said, no, you can't go. He said, fine, put some in my hand and look at it underneath the microscope. So he held out his hand. They got the plague, put it in his hand and was watching it, and it died as soon as it hit his hand. The God that I serve. See, whenever we're sowing that word of God on the inside of us, when something comes up, we're able to answer it and speak to it correctly.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Fear told them you cannot win, or it told them that you're depressed, or that nobody likes you. You're in this on your own. Nobody cares what you're doing. Nobody cares about you. Nobody's here to help you.
Yep.
Amen. God can't get you out of this one. I know he was able to help you before, but this time.
Yep.
Or maybe, you know, you're going to die with this disease. This is incurable.
Yeah.
We've never seen nothing this bad before.
Yep.
Or you'll die broke and in debt. Yeah. But see, whenever Saul put all that armor on him, he's like, this ain't me.
No.
Mm-mm. See, I've been practicing. I've been putting in time with God, and I know what works for me. That's why he went running at David with the sling in his hand. He's not running out there tiptoeing, walking back, or just kind of striding out there. He's going after it full tilt. Wide open with the sling in his hand, telling him, today is the day. Today is the day. You are dead now. Right? By faith, David kicked the tin of that door open and came out telling fear what was about to happen. Amen. A lot of times whenever you wake up or go out your front door, fear will be staring you right in the face. You need to speak to it.
Yeah.
You need to deal with it. Stop letting it follow you around like a little pet dog. Deal with it and move on. I said deal with it and move on. It's funny that fear has really just got people just such... Just, man, it's just so controlling. So controlling. And how can that be a God? How? It's not. Not at all. It's Satan. Excuse me. Here's a good one. On the coattail of fear is doubt and the rim of uncertainty. On the coattail of fear is doubt and the realm of uncertainty. Like, you know, if you're believing for money, like, well, I hope we get the money this time, or I hope the doctor will be able to help me, or I hope this, or I hope that. That's uncertainty.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But faith kicks the front door open and tells fear what's about to happen.
Amen.
I said faith kicks the front door open and tells fear what's about to happen.
Yep.
That's exactly what David did. He said, today you're going to die and I'm going to cut your head off.
Amen.
And I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds.
Yep.
I'm just letting you know, David. He was mouthing him. He was, or Goliath, he's mouthing David. But David's like, look, what you're saying ain't phasing me. You're about to die and today's the day and I'm just the man to do it. Because the God that I serve... He'll deliver you into my hand. He'll make this happen. Amen. Turn over real fast to 2 Kings, please. We have to move a little quicker. 2 Kings 4. Don't make a decision based out of fear. Roger?
Amen.
Roger that over. 10-4, good buddy. 2 Kings 4, we'll start about verse... Y'all remember the Shunammite woman, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank God. All right. Let's go to verse 23. Because y'all remember she didn't have a kid. They built a house for Elijah and all that good stuff. And he's like, what has she got? Got everything. You ain't got a kid. All right, here's a kid. She said, don't lie to me. He said, I ain't lying. You're going to have a kid this next year, right? And then he's out in the field plowing with his dad and he got felt sick. And then he's like taking to his mom, settling his mom's lap and died, correct?
Yeah.
All right, there we are. Now verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Well, 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee. Yeah, well, 22. I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the noonday nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be what?
Well.
Huh. Spoke faith. See, and right in the face of fear and just uncertainty, your baby is dead. You don't have any kids. This is the one thing you've always wanted, and it's dead right in front of you. It's dead. It died in your lap. The one thing that you always wanted, just now got it. Ain't had it that long. Just died. But yet, she said, give me a donkey. I need to go to the man of God. What for? It's not Sabbath. It shall be what?
Well.
Huh? It shall be what?
Well,
amen. All right, we got to move forward. It shall be well. If in my Bible, I got a number beside well, it's a number 5, and it says in the Hebrew, it means peace. Peace. See, fear, when there's fear, there's no peace.
Amen.
But not only that, it shall be well. She's not saying it's going to be. I hope something happens. It might be okay. She said it shall. What does that mean? That's like the strongest word you can say. Say, it shall be well. It shall be. He's fine. That's what she's saying. Regardless, if I just laid him down dead or not, he's fine. It shall be well. I'm in peace about this. Fear is not going, I'm not allowing fear in. I'm not allowing worry in and doubt and unbelief? See, whenever we believe God for something, we need to stay with it. Regardless of what the situation looks like. Because Satan can try to make it look like nothing's happening at all. It shall be well. You stay, well, how do I keep going? Easy. One foot in front of the other. Whenever I first got in the military, there was a guy named Sergeant Woods. He went to Ranger School and everything, and I was talking to him about it whenever I was a private and everything, because I was thinking about going way back then. And he said, I'll tell you something, Ricky. He said, it was extremely hard. He said, you know, it pushes you, obviously, because they want you to quit. Why? Because they only want the best there. They only want people that actually are committed. Not the people that say, yeah, I can do it, and then quit 3 hours later. Right. You know, they want people that will just stay the course and stay with it the whole time. Yes, right? And so he said, you know, it was rough. He said, and every single night, I wanted to quit. Every single night, I wanted to quit. Because, you know, they starving you. You know, they're pushing you to your limits. They're wanting to see how you react under stress. Yes. Right. Amen. And he said, I'd want to quit every single evening. Every evening I wanted to quit. But I'd say, you know what? I'll quit in the morning. Yep. I'll quit in the morning. He said he'd go to sleep. Morning come, he'd be like, oh, well, I feel okay now. It's a new day. Let's go at it again. Every single night, though, he said, I wanted to quit. But he didn't let himself. He didn't let himself, right? He stayed with it. But it shall be well. She didn't say it's going to be okay or anything like that. She said it shall be well. And if you go through there, that's what she continues to say. It is well. It is well. Where are you going? It is well. Why are you going? It is well. Why don't you come here? It is well. We need to learn the language of it as well.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not talk about every problem that we have. Not talk about every problem that we think we have. Not talk about every problem that our mom has or our sister has or our family has or this is what our kids are doing or they're cutting people off at work. It is well. It is well. Because either we serve God or we don't. I'm going to tell you that right now. My younger sister, Megan, whenever she is pregnant with Kylie, the doctor told her that her baby was going to be born, what was the word? Like Down syndrome. First thing she did was call mom, which is a genius move. Because that's not something you want to call some of your friends about. Or somebody that definitely doesn't believe like you. Because they're going to get on the train with you.
Yeah.
And now everybody on the train's crying heading to the bridge that's out.
Right.
And now we all about to just fly off together.
Yeah.
She called mom. Mom said, well, thank God we know the word.
Right.
We know what the word of God says.
Yes.
And so they prayed, said she'll be fine. That kid's wired like a microwave now. Prayed a little too good. No, I'm joking. No, but she's perfect.
Amen.
Perfect. Nothing's the matter with her. Nothing. But if that fear would have got in. Because see, as a mother, man, your emotions are already kind of different. Because, you know, you're giving, if the baby needs something, it's taking it from you. That's just how it is. And so you're deficient kind of everywhere, right? And so your emotions are like this. Hey, yeah, yeah, yum. Right? And so when the doctor tells you, your baby is going to be born with Down syndrome, I wouldn't even have it if I was you. I'd go ahead and abort it. As a single mom, off in the military with her husband by herself.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And see, the world doesn't know nothing else but to listen to him.
Right.
And that's where we come in.
Yes, sir.
See, because the God that we serve is able to help them, is able to speak the word of God to them and tell them, look, that's not the only answer. I have an answer in here if you really want to know it. I'll let you know it. Look, let's just pray and believe God that your baby will be 100%. That you ain't got to abort it, you can keep him or keep her. That you'll run the full term with your baby. No side effects, nothing wrong, and it'll be a bill of health whenever she or he comes out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's, we're here to help people with the word, right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn over real fast to Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14, about verse 23. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Do we have the Passion? We do? All right, I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then we'll go to the Passion. 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone there. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with what?
Waves.
With what?
Waves.
And for the wind was what?
Contrary.
So what does this mean? They're in a storm.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
All right. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on what? On the storm. Some of y'all need to think about that. He came to them walking on the storm or the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea or the storm, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out with what?
Fear.
With fear. See, first off, Jesus is already praying, and he looks out into the sea and sees them out there toiling, out there paddling their little hearts out. They're in a storm. They're getting tossed around. And so what they might have been in fear or in faith, I don't know. I don't know if they was in faith right now. But I know whenever they saw Jesus, they got in fear real quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
Good. Amen. Because we just read it. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying what? It is what? And then what?
Don't be afraid.
And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, what? And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to who? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what?
Afraid.
And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, what?
Save me."
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of what?
Afraid.
Where didst thou what?
Thou."
And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of what?
God."
God. Okay, so verse 27. They're afraid, correct,
yes.
Right? So they're all worried. There's a spirit. We don't know what's going on. Save us. Where's Jesus at? Oh, it is Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And then Jesus says what? Be not what?
Afraid.
Okay, so right then, fear was no longer in that boat.
Yeah.
Do we agree?
Yes, sir.
Because they were afraid, correct? Then all of a sudden, what did Jesus say? Be not what?
Afraid.
And so fear has left the boat, correct?
Yes.
I believe it has.
Yes.
Because Jesus told them,
yes,
be not afraid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not only that, what will also help us with this is right here, whenever Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water."
Yeah.
And he said what? And Peter was come down out of the ship. If the boat was still full of fear, you really think Peter would have been able to walk on water?
No.
See, if fear would have been present, there's no way Peter would have got out of the boat. Because
right.
Fear's not going to carry him.
Right.
Correct?
That's right.
So there's no fear in the boat now. None.
Yep.
There's just faith now.
That's right.
The peace of God now.
Yes.
they're still in a storm, but there's no fear now. Right? So see, if we have storms, we can be in peace in the midst of them. If things are going on around us, we can still stay in peace. Look at the Shunammite woman. She said, what's going on? Why are you going? It is well. You ain't got to worry about me, Jack. It's well. And just kept moving forward. Kept one foot in front of the other. Didn't stop. Didn't have a pity party, but kept moving. Yes. Correct? And so he said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat, right?
Yes.
I agree. If Peter was still in fear, he would have not have been able to walk on the water, right?
Right,
I agree. And so Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus, correct?
Yes.
Well, to go to Jesus, correct?
Yes.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
All right. And then, verse 30, what does it say? Anybody got a Bible? Okay. Let's start over from the beginning. Okay, so he is afraid.
Yes.
All right, I agree. So what does verse 30 say? All right, I'll read it for y'all. But when he saw the wind boisterous, but when he saw something that was contrary to what he was actually believing already, see, he started out in faith. But when something contrary to his faith said no, what happened? Well, first, fear had to come in, because fear and doubt obviously run hand in hand. And if fear's not there, Satan and doubt can't get in. So fear's got to be affected first. And so since Satan was able to get him into fear. See, it's funny that it's always, it says, and when they were afraid.
Yeah.
When they're afraid, when they're afraid. And then it says, oh, thee little faith. Yeah. Where's your faith at?
Yeah.
But it's always they're afraid first. It doesn't ever say they got in doubt and then Jesus said, where's your faith?
Yeah.
Does it?
No, sir.
It always says when they were afraid. We need to make sure that we pay attention to that. Because when they're afraid, Peter got his eyes off the situation and on Jesus, correct?
Yes.
Whenever he got out of the boat. Because the situation was, there's a storm right now, correct?
Yes.
So Jesus is walking in the storm. Everybody agree?
Yes, sir.
As soon as Jesus said, be not afraid, peace has hit this place. Peter is no longer even paying attention to these waves and storms.
Right.
It says it's tossing the boat around.
Right.
It's throwing the boat.
Yes.
But whenever Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. Huh. Peace just hit us all of a sudden. Now we're yielding to peace. We're not afraid anymore.
Yes.
Huh, look at that. He didn't even know he was in a storm, probably.
Yeah.
Because who in their right mind says, hey, Jesus, let me come out there with you. I really want y'all to see this, though. They're in a storm that is throwing this boat around, and it's not just a little kayak. It's a boat. A big boat. And the storm's big enough that it's throwing a boat around. Correct? All right. But yet, Peter had no regard for the storm that he was in. We need to listen to that.
Yes.
He didn't. He still went after what was the desire of his heart. The desire of his heart at that time was walk on water.
Yeah.
Was come to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And then Peter got out. And then whenever he saw the wind, it caught his attention. Peter starts walking on the water. But all of a sudden, something caught his attention. And as soon as he started looking with his physical senses, Satan was able to get him out of the spirit into the natural that fast. And as soon as that happened, fear came in. And then what happened? he began sinking. Because fear got there, and fear accompanied doubt and said, "You're about to drown." And he said, "Yeah, I'm about to die. Jesus, help me." Because none of that came out of his mouth before. He's still walking in the same storm as he was 5 minutes ago when he got out the boat. Amen. Y'all okay?
Yes.
All right. Amen. So he switched over from the spirit to the natural and started going off his physical senses.
Yes.
What his physical senses says. His physical senses says, "You in a storm right now. Why are you out the boat?
Yeah. Amen.
Why are you trying to walk on this water? You ain't Jesus.
Yeah.
What do you really think you're doing? You about to die. You can't even swim. Why'd you get out the boat in a storm?" And fear found another way. So fear was cast out, correct? But then fear found another way in, and it took the place of faith quickly. Because he was in faith, walking on water.
Yeah.
Fear was constantly looking for a way to get back in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, what was that? Eyes right off your answer,
yeah,
right onto the situation that caught my attention. And now I'm like, what is that? Why is that? What am I doing? Why am I out here? Now fear is slowly coming in, bringing with it doubt. And then all of a sudden, I went from looking at this to going, man, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Babe, you really think God can help us with this one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I don't know if God can heal this. Maybe the doctor's right. I don't know if we'll ever be able to buy a brand new house, babe. You really think we can have a brand new car? A few of them? It's funny how it just takes your attention right off your answer quick. And it's just something right out your peripheral. Something we're not even thinking about at the moment. But it'll catch you. And you'll just start looking at it. That day in the house. See, I'm going forward. I thought, yeah, man of faith, bring it on, Satan, sucker. Right? Moving. Walking out. Hey, look, we just got this bill. We're going to have to pay it. What was that? We're going to have to get a job, man. We can't afford all this stuff. Why am I the only one working in this household? You got to do something. That fast.
Amen.
That fast from here to I'm about to beat up everybody to, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ain't going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We shouldn't make decisions based out of fear, should we?
No,
we shouldn't. Did that help anybody?
Yes, sir.
Good, we just got one more point.
Amen.
One more, I'll talk fast, I promise. All right, turn over to Mark 5, please. Mark 5, well, I ain't got another point. It's the Holy Ghost helping us, amen.
Amen.
Mark 5. But about verse 39. Y'all remember Jairus?
Yes.
Good. Good. He went to Jesus. Hey, come heal my daughter. She's on the brink of death. He said, all right, I'll come. And then lady touched him, right? And got healed and then all that stuff. And then they're like, hey, don't bother master anymore. She's dead. And he said, shut up. We ain't paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. Now here we are about verse 39. He said, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this abode and weep? This damsel, is not dead, but what?
Sleeping.
See, it's amazing that Jesus didn't even let the words of Satan come out of his mouth.
Hmm.
He didn't. Did he just say she was dead?
No.
He sure didn't, because he knew the power of God. And he knew the power of his words. And if I speak those words, then the faith won't be able to be activated in it.
That's
He said, look, why are all y'all crying, making a ruckus? And it's funny, the next verse it says, and they laughed him to scorn. See, when you speak in faith, you're going to get laughed at by people that don't know what you're talking about or think you're crazy. But that's just kind of a ploy from Satan to try to get you off your game, to get you out of faith into fear, going, well, maybe I am crazy. Well, maybe this might not work. Faith will make you sound crazy sometimes. But stay with it. Don't allow fear to come in and wreck shop. But continue to stay your faith and stay with it and wreck fear's shop. Don't allow it in your household. Matter of fact, when you get home, just tell it. It might be following you. Tell it. You're going to have to stay outside. You ain't allowed in my house with me. Peace is where I'm at. Peace. Not fear, not doubt, not worry. Not any uncertainty. Because I know the Word. And the Word of God is certain. Right? Amen. We'll stop there. We're about time. Amen. Amen. Any of y'all helped at all?
Yes,
sir. We didn't read the... I'll just tell you this. We didn't read the Passion. I'm sorry. I just seen this note. About verse 31. About verse 31 in the Passion, it says, why would you let doubt win? Why would you let doubt win? Right? Amen. Well, Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you. Thank you, Father God, for your truth. Thank you for your Word, Father God, for... I'm assuming it helped them, but Father God, I know it helped me. Hallelujah, because there was things in there that just really stood out to me, Father God, that strengthened me, that helped me, to just know and to stay steady and stay true with your Word and not allow fear, because it might be so slight in nature and in its movement, but we won't allow our focus to get over to it. We'll allow our focus to stay steady with faith, with the Word of God, with your truth. So we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
We will see y'all Sunday.
Amen.
Sunday.